Good morning, everybody. How are we all doing this morning? How are we doing this morning? Blessed. God is good? And all the time? Amen, amen. Thank you for waking up this morning and coming to Faith Ministries Church. I'm glad you're here. And I'm sure God is glad that you are here this morning. If you would, turn your Bibles to Ephesians. God has given me a word to give to you, to teach to you about something that is very important to Him. And likewise, it's very important to us. In Ephesians chapter 6, I'm sure most of you have read this before. I'm just going to read through... Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's pray for this service. Father God, we come before you right now. Father, we thank you for this time that we get to spend together to worship in your presence, Lord, and in your house. And Father, right now I lift up this service, the words that come out of my mouth and what the words that the sounds that flow into the ears, Father, just tickle their ears and flow into their hearts and flow into their mind so that learning can occur and learning by your word. Can occur and move their hearts and move their mind and move their souls on this day. That your word be true. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Amen. All right, in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm just going to read this is the core scriptures that we're going to go through. It starts in verse 10. And I'm sure some of you have read this before. This is about the armor of God. Yes? We know about the armor of God. It says, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. That is a powerful 8 verses of Scripture. 9 verses of Scripture. Powerful. Powerful. I like what it says in verse 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand therefore. This scripture reminds me of military. And this past week, I talked to some military people, and just to get at how military works, and we're going to get to that in a second. But it just reminds me of military, and I taught the youth on this same subject about a year and a half ago. But it just gives you the reminder that we are an army. According to Ephesians 6, we are the army of God. And that we have, just as the Romans had, as Paul had to describe is what he saw in the army. So what he saw, he compared it to what God has given us. And so that's why the explanation is the helmet of salvation that keeps our head straight and right. The breastplate, which keeps our heart and all of our internal organs protected. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God that cuts through bone and marrow. And it goes on and on, the comparison between what God has given us and what the military gives their soldiers. And so if God is our commander and we are his soldiers, just as the commander of an army gives his weapons and his protection to his soldiers in their army. Amen? But I really wanted to get to verse 18. Verse 18 stuck out to me. And I want to read that again. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I'm in King James Version, Peter, if you're doing that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, as you're reading this, you read through all of the armor of God, and then you get to and praying. So there's armor and then something else. There's the armor and then something else. And I can't help but, I'm a sports guy, and I can't help to think about sports when I read this, that, maybe you watch the NCAA tournament, the basketball, or we watch football. Either way, I played basketball in high school, and I played football in high school, and I'm around sports all the time with my job. And you see that a team, some coaches will consider their team like their army, and they're the commander, right? Okay? And so what you have is you have the commander of the army, and then you have your people. You have your front lines, which is your starting lineup. The five in basketball that start, and then you have your bench. And then in football, it's 11, and then you have your bench. Those five have special skills, and that's why they're starting. Those 11 have special skills, and that's why they're starting in sports. Okay? But if you ever pay attention to sports, and sports casters and sports commentaries, they always talk about the bench. They always talk about what's on the sideline. That's their secret weapon. A big key in sports is the sixth man in basketball. Who's the first one to come off the bench? Usually that's their secret weapon. And in football, it's the 12th man. They talk about the 12th man. And if you're into sports, you understand that the 12th man is the field that they play on, home field advantage. Or the crowd that is there, how loud it can be and how intense the crowd can be. That's the 12th man. And I couldn't help but think about this line of scripture, how it gives us the armor that a soldier would wear, but then it tells us another part. It's not wearable. It's not even seeable. It's the secret weapon. Prayer. Praying always. Praying always. I couldn't help but think about sports in that aspect. The coach, the commander, sends the five out in the front lines, and then when all things might seem to be going bad, he goes to his secret weapon on his bench, and he says, you get in there now. We need you. That's good. Here's what it says. It says, wherefore, this is verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. First five, you get in there right now. You do what you can. It's there. You're the front lines. And when things go maybe not so good or things are going great, he says, hey, number six, secret weapon. Let's get in there and show them what we're all about. That's the same for us as soldiers in God's army. We put on the armor of God, but we have a secret weapon. We have the seventh man, because there's six pieces of armor. We have the seventh man. And it pertains to sport. Now, I looked up what a secret weapon means, and if you all know what a secret weapon means, that's fine, but I didn't really understand what secret weapon meant until I read the definition. It's a weapon or an asset. A weapon or an asset that can be used against an enemy that they do not know about or have no regard for. They don't care. They know you have it, but they don't care. Or they don't know you have it. The enemy thinks that it doesn't matter or that it has no real effect on what's going on. That sounds like somebody I know. That sounds like Satan. He might know we can pray, but he don't care. He has no regard for it. He thinks that it has no real effect. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. That's our secret weapon. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. The seventh man. I like how the message says, Ephesians 6:8. Peter, if we could bring that up there on the message. It says this. I think it's Ephesians 10 through 18. If we can do it on there. It says this. It says, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Isn't that true? We're up against more than we can handle. Start with verse in the message. No, this isn't the message. Anyway, I'm just going to read it to you. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters and keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. The seventh man, the bench, the 12th man is there as a cheering squad or as a motivation to say, get in there, let's go, we can do this. That's what we are for each other. That's what it means at the end of verse 18 when it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're praying for all the saints. We are keeping in mind all of our brothers and sisters and lifting up them and motivating them. Now, this whole scripture, this verse 18 about prayer and supplication really astounded me on how it works. And I hope it's getting to you that prayer is our secret weapon. But prayer means, well, Paul doesn't have another weapon to compare prayer to. You see that in verse 10 through 17, he compares the weapons to something. But prayer, there's nothing to compare it to. Why is that? There is nothing on earth that is as powerful as prayer. There is nothing on earth that even comes close to the power, the precision, and the effectiveness that prayer can give. And this is why this is the secret weapon. I was talking to my mom yesterday, and I was telling her a little bit about what was going on and what I was studying, and she's like, yeah, that's in your back pocket. That's what my mom and my grandma and my family used to say when there was something that they knew that nobody else did. I got that in my back pocket. In case you need it, right? I got that in my back pocket. That's my secret weapon. Prayer is my sixth man. Prayer is my 12th man. Prayer is what I got here in my back pocket. Prayer is how we fight spiritually. Prayer is our weapon that we can fight spiritually in the enemy. Prayer is fundamental for warfare. Prayer is that way because prayer is communication with the Father. Prayer is the way that we communicate to our superior in order to get the orders to go out and do what God wants us to do. That's the secret weapon. The enemy doesn't know anything. We are talking to God. God is giving us what we're supposed to do, and we're doing it, which leaves out the enemy. He doesn't know what's going on. So what we have is we have that secret weapon. And in verse 12, it tells us what we're fighting against. And it tells us what we're not fighting against. All around us, we see this world that's deteriorating. And then people blame this and people do this and people are fighting against this. But the Word tells us, the Word of God tells us that we don't fight against flesh and blood. You and I don't have a problem. Us and those people in the Middle East don't have a problem. It's the spiritual realm. It says, look, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of spiritual darkness in high places. So it's not the people, it's not the human beings, it's the spiritual realm that we are fighting against, the principalities of darkness. Satan and his little minions are getting in the way. The armor is there to protect us. But prayer, if you're reading the word, prayer does something. It releases what? It releases the angels. It releases the power of God to flow. It releases the angels, the power of God to come down and do the work of God, to push us in a way to apply the plan on earth in the natural. It's a spiritual way to start movement in the natural. Amen? Secret weapon. It is a weapon that we have to learn how to use. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I recently purchased some weapons for some sports shooting and some hunting that I'm going to try and do. And one of the first things I had to do when you get a weapon is to learn how to use it. You got to learn how to use it. You got to learn what it's for. You got to learn how not to use it. You got to learn what kind of ammunition you need for it. You got to learn what to use it on. What shouldn't use it, how far it can shoot, with blah, 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 blah. You got to learn how to use it. Amen? Prayer is the same way. We got to learn how to use it. It's a weapon in our toolbox. It's in our back pocket. We got to learn how to use it. Now, we can go out and you can get a weapon and just go out somewhere and start shooting it, but bad things may happen. So in the same way, we can say, oh, yeah, I can pray. Well, we may not know exactly how to do that, exactly what's it for, how to be effective in it. So we got to know. We got to know what it's for, what it's used for. We have to know how to understand that weapon. And once we understand that weapon, then, woo boy. If prayer is a communication to God that releases the power of God, whoever that prayer is going up against or going out for, better look out. Something powerful is about to happen. Amen? Amen. So as we read through verse 18, and I'm sticking on verse 18 because verse 18 hit me hard. Verse 18 says five things about prayer, about how we can use prayer. Verse 18 tells us five things how we can use prayer. It's a short verse, but it says a lot. First thing it says, it says pray always. So how do we pray? Always. How do we use it? We pray always. When do we use it? Always. Some people may ask, well, how do I do that? I talk to people. I don't know. I can't. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. This is the thing. We're focusing on something else when we should focus on praying always. Is that hard to do? Sure. But can it be done? Yeah. What's prayer? Prayer is communication with God. I believe that there's a way. If prayer is our communication with God, then we can be. Prayer is simply speaking to God what God already told us. And giving him the understanding that we understand what you said. And thank you, God. So what do? Well, we sing songs about the goodness of God. Can singing be an act of prayer? Of course it can. We talk. We talk a lot. Can we talk to God? Of course we can. Of course we can. What about thinking? Can we think about God? Of course we can. If we do those things all day, every day, we can be in communication with God, praying always. Praying always. So prayer is, number one, is perpetual, which means it's always happening. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us, in conjunction with this, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I'll just read it off the board, tells us in conjunction, pray without ceasing. That means what? Don't stop. Pray and don't stop. Pray always. Pray, don't stop. We can be in constant communication with God. It's a choice that you have to make, just like a lot of things. You have to be active in your pursuit of the things of God. The theme for the year is pursuing God's passion. How are you going to know God's passion if we're not talking to him? We got to be talking to him always. We got to be talking to him always. The second thing. First one is pray always. And then it says, with all prayer and supplication in. With all prayer and supplication. This is the second thing. With all prayer and supplication. So the second thing is that prayer is petitionary, which means that prayer is talking to God about requests. It's petitionary. You're bringing your requests to God. Now, in that, I had to figure out what prayer meant and then what supplication meant. I'm not an English teacher, so supplication was a really difficult word for me. I didn't really get what that meant, but it's pretty simple. The first term, prayer, refers to general requests or general requests that align with the Word of God, and we'll get to that in a second. So general things. Supplication, when you go back to the Hebrew, is a word that talks about specific needs or specific requests. Praying specifically for a specific outcome or a specific issue. So you have prayer and supplication, which is talking to God and giving general and specific requests. That's the second thing that prayer is, petitionary. Philippians 4:6 tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Right there, it tells us. In conjunction with that we can and we should bring our prayers and supplications, our general requests and our specific requests unto God and make them known to him. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 and 28 says, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I'm sorry, I should have started in 26. Let's go back to 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, for as we should, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so making our requests, even if it's general, even if it's not what we don't know, as we pray, the Holy Spirit makes it known unto God. So we can bring our known prayers, our known requests, and our known specific requests unto God. And we also can bring our unknown prayers to God. And the Holy Spirit will work that out so that it will be known. Amen? So that's the second thing that prayer is, or that prayer should be. The third thing, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's the third thing. And the Spirit is power. So prayer is powerful. Amen? Amen. Prayer is powerful in the Spirit. If we go back to Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says this. It says, and be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So prayer in the Spirit, powerful prayer. In the Spirit means, it can mean a lot of different things to some people. But this is in our armor, the Word of God is what? The sword of the Spirit. That means the same word in Hebrew is used here, which means that we are aligning ourselves with the Word of God, praying in the Spirit. Aligning ourselves with what the Word of God tells us in the Spirit. So what does the Word of God tell you? It's powerful. You can give Him requests. You can pray for other people. You can pray for healing and all these other things. And you can pray for what God tells us He's already given us. Prayer is communication. Thanking God. Telling Him, yes, thank you, Lord, for the healing. Thank you, Lord, for this and that and the other thing. Thank you, Lord, because You already gave it to me. The more you spend time in a relationship with God, the more that you know how He works. It's the same with a relationship. The more time I spend with Nina, the more I know what makes her tick. The more I know what she likes. The more I know how she talks. The more I know how she speaks. The more I know what she really likes. The more I know what she doesn't like. The more I know what she wants to do with her life. The more I know the will of her and what she wants to do. The more that the time you spend with them, you know about them. Well, God is the same way. The more time you spend, then the more time you will know the will of God. Thus, when you pray, you will be praying the will of God. When you are spending time with God, you have to understand that you are now talking with the Almighty, and He is talking to you. You are establishing a relationship with the Almighty God. With this, He is going to know all about you. You're going to know all about Him. And when you pursue His passion, you're pursuing His will. That's powerful. Because that means what you're praying, He's behind you. What you're doing, He's behind you. Where you're going, He's behind you. What you're saying, the power that you're speaking, the action that you're doing, He's behind you 100%. When you know His will. If I know Nina's will, if I know what Nina wants to do and aligns with the Word of God, and aligns with what we want to do, then I am 100% behind her. And whatever she needs, I'll be there for her. And whatever she needs, I'll get it done. God is the same way. You pray in align with the Holy Spirit. You pray in align with His will. Guess where He is? Right behind you. He's got you. Whatever you need, you got it. Amen? Amen. If you are praying in the Spirit according to the Word of God, and according to His will, then you can be certain by His promises in here that your prayers will be answered. Amen? You can be certain if you're praying aligned with the will of God in the Spirit, you can be for sure that your prayers will be answered. And that's good news. Amen? Let's turn to 1 John. It's in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 5. I love this scripture, and it just ties into exactly what we're talking about right now. There's power in prayer. Amen? Verse 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. The confidence, the trust, the assurance. Amen? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Woo! If we ask anything according to his will, we have the confidence, the assurance, the trust, the I know that he hears us. Verse 15, and we know then that if he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him, that we have the request that we desired of him. That's the confidence that we have. That's powerful. If I align myself in the Spirit, if I do exactly what Ephesians 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, pray always with all prayer and supplication, and give him my request in the Spirit, in line with the Word of God, in line with his will, I can be assured that that request will be done. Amen? Amen. Amen. So prayer is perpetual. It's always. Prayer is petitionary. We give our requests. And third, prayer is powerful. The fourth thing we have to understand about prayer that Paul gives us right here, it says, pray always, number one, with all prayer and supplication, number two, in the Spirit, number three, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. This is the fourth thing. Prayer is perseverant, which means we do it. We continually are in prayer. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. We continually are in prayer with him. I want to turn to Luke 18. When you get there, say amen. Luke 18. Now, this is a parable of Jesus, and he gives us a weird parable. I first read this. I didn't know what he was talking about, but it's revealed. I'm going to share it with you. So he says this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not be faint. All right? Ought always to pray. Now, if we keep going, this is awesome. God is good. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6, And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him through the bearing long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of God cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Very simply, in this parable, Jesus talks about an old lady always going to the judge and saying, avenge me, this person did me wrong. And she kept going, and she kept going, she kept going. In some versions, it says that the judge was so troubled by her badgering that he just granted the request. She persevered. Now, this is a funny parable, because God is not going to get tired of hearing our requests. Jesus tries to explain that towards the end of this parable, saying, now, if we have a just God, wouldn't he do the same? So this is the parable that tells us that we can continually cry out for the request that we haven't seen yet, for the prayer that hasn't been answered yet, that we should continually be in prayer for that, continually communicating with God about that particular request. Amen? And because God is a just God, he will grant that. Amen? Amen? Now, some might say, but how come God doesn't just grant it right now? Why did he wait so long? Some people ask that question. I asked 10 months ago for this to happen, and it hasn't happened yet. The answer is difficult, but easy at the same time. Anyone ever had that happen to you before? The answer seems so easy, but yet so difficult. We must ask ourselves, are our prayer and supplications aligned with the will of God? That's number one. All through what we've read, are our prayer and supplications, are our requests aligned with the Word of God? Because the Word says, if it aligns with the Word of God, with the will of God, we can be sure that it will come to pass. But if it's not aligned with the will of God, maybe not. So we have to check ourselves. We have to ask ourselves, is that aligned? Or is it aligned with our own will? What we want to do? What I want to do? That's number one. Also, we have to understand another aspect of prayer. That prayer, remember when we talked about, if we go back to Ephesians, and we looked at verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual places in the spiritual realm. So we have to also understand that there is an unseen world that we cannot see, where there are angels and demons, Satan's minions that are at work in the spiritual realm. And I didn't understand that until I read Daniel 10. Let's take you there. Daniel 10. Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. Now this is, to me, this opened my eyes to prayer and how prayer works. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or forever. Amen? So the way that God works with Daniel is going to be the same way that God works today with me or with you. Amen? So let's see how God works here, or how this all works. Daniel chapter 10, starting in verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Verse 2. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. That's 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. It sounds like fasting to some people. Verse 4, and in the 24th day of the first month, that's 24 days, okay? And as I was side by side, or I was by the side of the great river, which is the Tigris, or in the King James, it says Hiddekel. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of multitude. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide themselves. Now verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw a great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Verse 9, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Verse 12, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. This is the part that really got me. Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, from the first day he gave his request, and chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. So right there, Daniel's the angel that was sent, or the man that was sent, is saying, from the first day that you prayed your prayer, from the first day that you put up your prayer and supplications, it was heard, and I'm coming here to give you the word that you asked for. Amen? So that means that initially, the very first time he uttered the words, they were heard by heaven. Amen? But then it keeps going. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of, Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now, check this out. The angel says, then he said, for fear not, Daniel, for from the first day Your request was heard. Here, Daniel is told that his answers are immediate and sure. He's sure that his words were heard by heaven. So he's sure that when he prays in the basis of God's will, it happens immediately, that they're heard. But then why did it take 121 days for the angel to come? We have to understand, there's a spiritual world. Daniel prayed, it was heard, and what does prayer do? It releases the power of God. But then there are forces at work that want to stand against the power of God. There are forces at work that want to withstand, that want to stop the power of God happening in our lives. The very power that we ask for, the very things that we pray and supplicate to. There are powers of evil standing in the way that are trying to get to us. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. He's not talking about the physical, natural king of Persia. He's talking about a spiritual demon that has control over this world in that area that held him back for 120 days. But then God sent Michael. That's what it says. It says, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, which then allowed me to get through, to come give you the words that you asked for, to come give you the request that you asked for. We have to persevere in our prayer. We have to push through. We have to pray through the tough times. We have to get through those tough places. Let's turn to James real quick. Keep your finger on Daniel 10, but let's turn to James. When you get there, say amen. James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded, and it shall be given to him. Ask, and it will be given to you. We see that in Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Let's turn there. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So, it's saying here, to everyone who asks, or to everyone who seeks, to everyone who knocks, it shall be, you shall find it. You shall hear it. The door shall be opened unto you. The answer to that question that we asked, but why does it take so long? It's not that God doesn't hear you. He does. But we have to understand that there's a world out there that we don't see, a spiritual world that is fighting against the power of God. But the answers are absolute. They are sure when we pray on the basis of God's will. Is made very clear by the angel to Daniel that when we align ourselves with the word of God, our prayers will be answered. Amen? It's clearly. But the angel goes on that he was delayed. He was delayed in getting through. And although God answered it immediately, he answered the prayer immediately in the spiritual. You see, he answered the prayer immediately in the spiritual realm. It was immediately answered. What he's telling him is that it didn't arrive for 3 weeks. There was a prince of the kingdom of Persia that there is not only good angels that we like, but that there are evil angels that we don't like and that don't like us. And that they're ready to oppose God. Ephesians 12. We just read it. How many different times? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. The passage speaks that there is an intertwining physical and spiritual world. It intertwines. Our physical prayers have an effect on the spiritual world. And in turn, the answers in the spiritual have an effect on our natural. There's an intertwining realm here. Do you see? Behind all of us are invisible powers at work. Behind us, there are in these invisible things, the spiritual realm, controlling the minds and the thoughts of men. This is what is happening in the world today. This is why all this evil is occurring. There are spiritual powers that are grabbing a hold of men and lying to them, and this is what is happening. We see it in the news. It's not new. You can go in the past and look all the way through the past. There are spiritual wickedness that's tainting the mind of men. Controlling their thoughts. Students blame teachers. Teachers blame students. Governments blame people. People blame the government. Parents blame children. Children blame parents. But nobody ever says, it's me, I'm being attacked. Nobody ever says, it's my mind that it's trying to be controlled by the spiritual realm. We don't think of it like that. I didn't until I read these parts. There are demons that are trying to get to us to create our natural world to be a living hell. And that's why Paul gives us this the armor so that we can stand up. And it says right there, stand therefore against these things that are trying to corrupt you. And then pray. Pray why? To release the power of God so that the angels can get through and affect the natural. Thank you, Jesus. Delays can occur. And the next time you have a prayer that doesn't get answered quickly, we might have to remember that there's a spiritual battle happening. It's not that God didn't answer you. He answered you. It's coming. You see? It's coming. Your prayer is answered in the spiritual. It's coming in the natural. Amen? It's coming in the natural. It's on the way. The spiritual realm affects the natural. That might be why we have delays in our prayer. The devil doesn't want to see that happen in your life. So we keep praying continually, which sends the angels to fight through the battle. And then it comes. Praise God. Praise God. And then it comes in the natural. And then it comes in the natural. Ephesians 6, I just keep going back and forth in here, but it's so positive and it is so awesome to hear, to understand that yes, we are in a spiritual battle. We can see it all around us in the natural. So what do you think is happening in the spiritual? Verse 13 and 14, it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, everything, everything, the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the shoes, the belt, and pray. Why? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day when having done everything, having put on the whole armor of God, having prayed for yourself, having prayed for the saints, the Christians, your brothers and sisters, having done all things to stand, stand therefore having those parts of the armor on. Stand in front of that. Keep swinging. Keep standing. Keep fighting. Persevere. Attacks are going to come, but that's why we have the armor. That's why I have the prayer. It's our secret weapon. Release heaven on earth. Pray. Pray. That's the power of God coming forth. The last thing, number five, is the last part of verse 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So to pray and to pray for all the saints, all the believers, all the Christians, and keep them in mind when you're making your request to God for all the saints. Five major ways that prayer has an effect and how prayer should be done. The secret weapon that we have is prayer. That's why it's so powerful. It has nothing to compare it to in the whole earth. And Paul couldn't compare it to anything. If there was something that he could have compared it to, I'm sure he would have. He compared everything else. But there was nothing on earth as powerful as prayer. There is nothing on earth as powerful as prayer. There is nothing on earth as powerful as the communication that you have with your Heavenly Father. The power that flows from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. There is no greater power on earth than the power of prayer. The prayer is our seventh man. Now, prayer allows for communication. And I want to give you the analogy that I was talking about for the beginning with military. How many of you have been in the military? Been around military? Now the military, when they're going to go do something, and you know that in the military there's different ranks, yes? There's a high level, there's commanders, and then it goes all the way down to, what's the last one? Private? All right. Okay. And for any given purpose, there might be a physical battle, and for that battle, they prescribe or they go through and they talk about a battle plan. Okay? And that battle plan is how they're going to get the objective done, how they're going to go about doing that. And so there's a process, and that's called the battle plan. Generally, from time to time, it's given a name. So they name their battle plan so that everybody knows on the same page, from big commander to little commander or little private, Right? So everybody's on the same page. They all know what the battle plan means and how to execute it and what their job is within that battle plan. Now, always there are probably other battle plans that are occurring, other objectives that are occurring, and each one has a different name so that everybody can be on the same page about which battle plan they're trying to execute. Whether it's the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, they all kind of work in the same fashion. There is your top dog all the way down to your, there you go, dog face. And they have divisions, or they have certain categories that they fit into, all right? And it's like this. It's like the smallest, it goes individual, and that individual is part of a squad, and that squad is part of a platoon, and the platoon is part of a company, and the company is part of a division, and so forth. So each one is part of a bigger entity, okay? Each individual person is a part of a squad, and they're a part of a platoon, and they're a part of a division, etc. Okay? Now, there's a code of conduct in the military that I really didn't understand until I talked to some people, where you follow the orders of your superior. What they tell you to do, you need to get it done. Is that correct? So this fits into our army of God, does it not? We are all individuals, Christians, and our commander is who? God. But we are part of a squad. That might be part of a platoon. That might be part of a division. Yes? You might be a part of this church, which is your squad. This church and all the churches in Douglas might be part of the platoon. The Church of Douglas might be part of Arizona churches, which could be our division. You see how it works. And so, who are we getting our commands from? That's the question. Yes? The commander at the top and all the commanding officers at the top devise this battle plan to achieve this objective. Then they, through the course of communication, talk to the division commanders and the squadron commanders, and they tell their people all the way down to the private on what this battle plan is and what is my job as a part of first company squadron, whatever that, that's probably wrong, but you understand what I'm saying. What is our objective? What do we do? We're getting that from the battle plan. If we look at it from the biblical perspective of what God is telling us, God gives us a battle plan in here on how to overcome the world. He gives us the battle plan. So God is our commander, giving us the communication through his word and through prayer on how to be overcomers of the world. How to not let sin control your life. How to save, or how to lead other people into being saved or having their salvation. Amen? In the military, the code of conduct, as I was talking about, you don't break that code. And if you do, there's repercussions. That means what? That sounds bad, doesn't it? Well, probably is, right? I learned that if you break some military code, you can be put in prison. You can be thrown out of the military. You can even be put to death. If you look at it from our Christian perspective and from the army of God, if we go out of our way to not listen to our commander, what happens to us? We step out of the protection of what the commander is doing, and now we're on our own. Well, what can happen to us? Anything. Anything and everything now is at the disposal of the enemy to do whatever they want to us. If we proceed without orders, we may be doing the right thing, but it's not in tune with what the battle plan is. You follow me? We have to understand that the commander is telling us that we have this plan to do, and then we have to have the timing to execute that plan. But we don't know the timing unless we are in communication with our superior. How do we get into communication with our superior? Pray always. Pray always. So what is our battle plan to defeat the enemy of this world? All through the Gospels and through the Bible, it tells us that we are to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, number one. Lay hands on the sick, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and establish the kingdom of God on earth. That's our battle plan. That's what we're here to do. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given all these things by God, our salvation, to establish His kingdom on earth by preaching the gospel, healing the sick, etc., etc. But we are struggling between physical and spiritual. We cannot do this by ourselves. It'd be like a soldier going out to fight a battle by themselves. It cannot happen. It cannot be good for that particular soldier. But we have to have the communication with the Father in order to go out and do what we are supposed to do. So we're struggling with this spiritual and physical. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot establish both realms by ourselves. We cannot establish the physical realm and the spiritual realm by ourselves. We have to have a connection to the spiritual realm, which then will affect the spiritual realm, which then obviously will affect the natural. And we only can get that by prayer. Daniel 10 tells us that we have to get into the spirit. We have to get into and tap into that realm by prayer and supplication in order to affect and get the power to be released from heaven to affect the natural on earth. We are the army of God, and the commander is God. He is our commander, so we have to be in constant communication with Him. If we're not in communication with Him, we're not going to do the will of God. Soldiers are put on a battlefield to do the will of the commander, yes? We are on the battlefield to do the will of the commander. We got to be in constant communication. That's how we can execute the battle plan for God, to establish His kingdom on earth. If we are not in communication with the Father, then whatever we do, whatever we plan, is outside of that battle plan. And it may not turn out well. It may not turn out good for you. Prayer is the way of being in line with the will of God and then going out and executing that will of God. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. That is our charge. That is our battle plan. That is part of the plan that God has for us, is to go out into the world, meet the world, have the armor of God on so that we're not affected, praying always so that we can release the power of heaven on earth, so that people can see the power of God and their lives can be changed and they can be with us in eternity. So the power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit allows us to take that power and go out and do the things that God wants us to do and execute His battle plan. All we have to do is put on that armor and then take out our secret weapon and not make it very secret anymore. Take it out. Use it. Use the prayer. Use the prayer for 5 different purposes. Use it for requests aligned with the will of God. It's powerful. It's petitionary. It's praying always. Persevere. Pray through it. Even though you don't see in the natural, it's already been answered in the spiritual. So pray till it comes. Allow the power of God to work through the opposition. Daniel 10 explains a whole lot about prayer. That we are heard the very moment we speak to God. And that God answers our prayer immediately. And that we have to have the understanding that there is a spiritual battle for our souls that is at work. So persevere through everything, knowing with full confidence and full assurance that God answers all prayers with full assurance, the confidence that we have. Resist the devil. Show him your weapons. Show him what you got. Make him flee. Resist the devil. Make him flee. Pray always so that you will know the plan of God. Pray always so that you know what your next step is. Pray always so that you know and can help your brothers and sisters with the plan of God for their lives. Pray always with prayer and supplication. Pray always to release the power of God in your life. Pray always. Be in communication to know what the will of the Father is for your life. Pray always with prayer and supplication to request, God, give me wisdom about how to do this specific thing. Pray always. The answer's coming. Persevere. Get through it. Pray always. The answer's coming. The answer's on His way. God is never late. God is always on time. Amen? So He might know this prayer, this answer is going to be caught with some opposition. Keep praying. He's going to send his angels out to get through to you in his time. Keep praying. Pray always. He hears us. Align ourselves with the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for those things that you know, and pray for those things that you don't know. He hears you. That's what the Word of God is telling us now. The Word of God says, I hear you. Keep your faith in me. Keep your trust in me. Keep your confidence in me. Your answer is coming. That's what it says. Be faithful to trust in me, as Daniel was faithful to trust in God for 3 weeks, 21 and 4 days. Be faithful to trust in God, because your prayer is already answered. Your prayer is already coming. Your prayer, your request is already here. Keep praying and thanking God that he answered your prayers. Amen? Keep praying and thanking God for what he does in your life. Amen? Keep praying and thanking God with thanksgiving for the power that he has given you to persevere in this life. Amen? For the power that he's given us to use the armor of God to go out into the world. It's scary out there, but we won't be hurt. We have the armor of God. We have the prayer and supplications. We have the power of God behind us. He's in my back pocket. It doesn't matter that that you might be scared inside here, because God's pushing you right here. Let's go. We've got to do this. Let's stand. Let's close our eyes and let's thank God for what he does in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer is our secret weapon that we have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close our eyes and I'm going to read some scripture. And I want this scripture to speak to your heart. Speak to your mind. Speak to your thoughts. Speak to you about the power of God in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, the well-made weapons of the best material, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up for everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll be walking away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. So take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, you will be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. It's the same. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. God is strong, and he wants you strong. You are his children. Take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best material. So this week, when you go to your job and you go to your work, you go to whatever you do, your home, your family, the scripture should be in your heart and in your mind. God is strong and he wants you strong. Amen? He gave you these weapons made of the best materials. So put them to use. Amen? Put them to use. Remember what you're fighting for. The scripture here in the message tells us this. Remember what you're fighting for. This is no afternoon athletic contest where it'll end and you'll go on to your days. This is for keeps. This is for pink slips. This is for life and death. Finish it against the devil and his angels. Use the weapons. That's what he gave them to you for, to use them, to be active with them. You are a soldier in his army. He gave you the perfect weapons to go out and defeat the devil and overcome. So do all that you can do. And in Ephesians it says, do all that you can do. Use the armor so that you can stand and stand therefore against the devil and defeat him in your life. You got spiritual demons that are in the spiritual realm attacking you, whether it's your thoughts or your physical, whether it's a sickness or whether it's the thought of this or that, or whether it's alcohol or the drink or the drugs that's got a hold of your physical body. Well, God here gives you the weapons to get rid of all that. He also gave you those weapons to help other people get rid of those things. So go and do. That's the charge that he gave us. Go and make disciples. Go and heal. Go and use these weapons against Satan. Hallelujah. Pray for people. Heal them. Lay hands on them. Remember that God has given you the power to do all that you can do to stand against Satan. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Commander, that we are in constant communication with you to know your will and purpose for our lives. Father, I thank you for these soldiers that you put here at this platoon, at this squadron, that we can work together to go out and overcome this evil world. Thank you for these soldiers and these believers. And we can work together and pray for each other and release the power of God together on this earth to overcome Satan. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray for each and every one of them out here that as they go and do their own, do their work and do their family, that they have the power of God inside of them and they release that power through prayer. Praying always within their family, within their work and their co-workers, within their children, within the strangers that they meet at Walmart or wherever they go. And the power of God just shines through. And Satan is defeated. Thank you, Lord, for these soldiers. Communication with the Father for the plan of our lives. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And through these weapons, we are victors. Amen? We are victors. Amen? We have won the battle. We know the battle. We have won it already. And through these weapons, we overcome. Through these weapons, you overcome. Through these weapons, you heal. Through these weapons, we align ourselves with the Spirit, and through these weapons, we overcome this world. Amen? Thank you for coming here today. I pray that this touched you and charged you and energized you for what we're supposed to do in this world. Follow God's will. Thank you. Have a blessed week, powerful week, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.